Not only that, but the people who wrote that presentation, that PowerPoint presentation, and presented it to parents a year earlier, were the exact same people denying critical race theory 1 year later. Somebody has a bad memory, or somebody's a liar.
So hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And this is a special episode. It's Raising Critical Thinkers, Navigating Schools and Social Media. And for this episode, I have got an incredible guest here, Dr. George Morrow. Please briefly introduce yourself just a little. Who are you? Where are you from? What makes this topic to you?
Hi, Blanca. First of all, thank you very much for having me on the program. I really appreciate it. I decided to go back to school during the pandemic, and I was close enough to get my doctoral degree in education. And the topic of critical race theory was something that was kind of popping at the time. And so I decided to write my dissertation on that as a conservative. When I retired from the United States Air Force in 2010, people knew I was a conservative, but they don't think they really knew how conservative I really was. And so people that were my friends suddenly began calling me a racist, and for anything I said was racist. And it's a disgusting thing to call a human being, you know, to someone who judges others based on skin color alone, you know, and you build a thick skin to it, but it took a little while. And so this was a topic that interested me. And so I wrote my dissertation on it, knowing that I would unacademic ease my writing and put it into normal English so regular people could read it once I was done. And that's what I did. And so in May of this year, I released a book called Critical Race Theory in Your School, How to Fight Back. And so here I am.
Here you are. This is an awesome topic, I think. And because when we just had our first conversation, I thought, it's something I wasn't aware of, that it still exists, but it has
definitely
changed its forms, right? So
definitely
there is so much behind that I wasn't aware of. And I think all the listeners, please listen very closely here. This is really crucial for our next generations, for our society, how to move on. And I'm so grateful that you're here on this podcast. Yes, what made you think about the subject or even research it? You said, okay, you just came across this topic. What grabbed your attention to it?
Well, I think the thing that really caught my interest more than anything was the dishonesty of the people that were pushing it. When I opened my book, chapter one is titled, Yes, They're Lying to You. Because they are, in many cases. And I did some research on the local school district. I live in California, and the local school district is called Riverside Unified. And so there were parents who were getting angry at meetings, at school board meetings, and, you know, they were asking questions about critical race theory. And so I was going through and watching some of these school board meeting videos, and I saw the school board members, you know, getting really snotty with the parents. You know, ma'am, I don't know what you heard, but we are not teaching critical race theory in Riverside Unified, you know, it's just, you know, that kind of thing. And so I did a little research. I went back a year earlier, and the Riverside Unified School Board voted and approved an ethnic studies program. And again, there's one of those phrases that they like to use, and they use different phrases to confuse people, basically. And They approved an ethnic studies program, and within this ethnic studies program, there were 23 learning objectives. And of the 23 learning objectives, four of them had the words critical race theory in the title, okay? And then 11 more directly alluded to critical race theory tenets. Not only that, but the people who wrote that presentation, that PowerPoint presentation, and presented it to parents a year earlier, were the exact same people denying critical race theory 1 year later. Somebody has a bad memory, or somebody's a liar. And, you know, and I know what I think. And I made that obvious with the title of the first chapter of my book. And, you know, when you see people taking advantage of others, you know, there's this thing in us, I guess you could call it a mama bear, papa bear, even if it's not your children. You know, when it's your children, that mama bear, papa bear thing comes out, you know. But, you know, but when you see innocent people in general being taken advantage of, you know, and you get these school board members gaslighting parents. Well, we're the professionals, ma'am. You're just a parent. What do you have, a high school education? Obviously, we know more than you. You know, trying to make parents feel stupid, trying to make them feel confused. And when you see things like that, I decided, okay, I'm going to try to write a book that's going to help these parents understand what critical race theory is and how to take a stand and steps and measures they can use to fight back against this.
Well, yes, sounds very important to really to dive into this topic a little more. So how would you say do you raise children to think for themselves in a world where schools and media seem to push specific narratives?
Yeah, it's very difficult because they, you know, in the EU, I mean, they've just passed some laws here just very recently where there's certain language that's, you know, off limits, you know, and so it's not only going on here in America, it's over in Europe as well. And they're trying to do it here. You know, they're saying things like, well, we need to stop disinformation and we need to stop hate speech, you know, which is basically code for censorship. And so, but what they do, what critical race theory is, to kind of explain it, critical race theory, there's ethnic studies and there's critical race theory. Ethnic studies is the healthy, positive learning of one's culture, leads to self-awareness, self-confidence. It's important for all of us to know who we are, where we came from, you know, our various histories. It's important to know the histories of other individuals, other folks. And so that's a good thing. And it's particularly helpful to at-risk students. You know, the ones who may be living in difficult circumstances, maybe their parents are in a survival mode. You know, they're having a hard time paying the bills, et cetera, et cetera. Those folks can lean on education to perhaps do more with their lives, escape their circumstances. And ethnic studies is a great thing for that. However, a lot of ethnic studies programs like the one in Riverside, California, have been taken over by CRT. And what CRT does is it focuses primarily on only our worst moments in history without giving due credit to all of the progress that we've made over the years. You know, the history of Germany is only defined from 1933 to 1945. Nothing else matters.
Wow.
Okay.
Bad.
You know, that kind of, you know, but if you talk to, you know, critical race theorists here, the only thing that matters about America is from 1619 to 1965, or I'm sorry, 1865, which are the years where slavery was legal in our country, you know. Nothing else matters. That's it. And we are forever dependent, or we are forever racist. And critical race theory assumes that the countries like the United States, nations that are primarily white, are inherently racist, and nothing you can do, nothing that can be done, will ever change that. And so the whole country is designed to keep people of color down. So now when you start teaching children these things, what they start doing is what it's called is the psychology of shame. There was a group who brought critical race theory to a doctor, psychologist, and said, "What is this?" He said, "It's the psychology of shame, where it is one negative thing after another, bad, bad, bad. Your country is bad. You are bad because of the color of your skin. Your family is bad because of the color of their skin. They are guilty for crimes, historical crimes. You know, even though slavery ended more than, 150 years ago, you're still guilty for those things that happened during that time." And what it does is it leads to depression, suicidal thoughts. When there was a program called Wit and Wisdom in the state of Tennessee here in the United States, and parents were going through this reading program, and the adults were getting depressed by the negative content. Adults. Now imagine the impact on 5 and 6 year old children. And so, and again, it's all designed it's a classic brainwashing technique, and it's designed to remove the foundation of a person and to replace it with something new. So, and critical race theory is based in Marxist ideology, oppressor versus oppressed. And so,
sounds a little strange,
goal,
because I think,
say again,
it sounds a little strange. Well, when I first heard this, I thought, what has this got to do with each other?
Right.
I couldn't connect, but yes, just go on, please explain.
Yeah, it's a lot of information, and I apologize if I'm throwing too much at you, but at their core, these folks, they're Marxists, they're, totalitarians, and their goal is to eliminate capitalism. Their goal is to eliminate the nuclear family. Their goal is to eliminate freedoms. And because they see the ultimate future of mankind as a one world Marxist system. They see the eventual takeover of every nation in the world. And, anybody who knows anything about history knows that Marxism has been taking over nations and sometimes failing, but sometimes succeeding very successfully. Venezuela and South America is a very good example. They were, they had one of the most successful economies in the Americas behind Canada and the United States for a long time because they have a very lucrative and successful oil and gas industry. And then a Marxist convince those people that the oil and gas industry was taking advantage of you, oppressor versus oppressed. You are the oppressed and the oppressor. You're not getting your fair share. If only we would make this a communist country, then we would all share equally in the profits and it would all be wonderful. And that's the deal they always sell you, in Cuba, Soviet Russia, it goes on and on and on. And so they convinced the people that the oil industry was taking advantage of them and that they needed to elect a Marxist leader, dictator, to fix all the problems. And he was going to take care of you. And 2 years later, people are eating out of garbage cans and they're eating their pets because the grocery stores are empty. There's no food. There's no medicine. There's nothing. And so I have some members of my family. My fiance, actually, they're Cuban, and they go back to Cuba on a regular basis. And not surprisingly, when they got to Cuba, they ran into a cold virus they caught a cold, the flu, and, you know, they were completely unprepared for that particular variant because they had no defense. You know, it's, you know, whenever you travel, you get sick a lot of times. And so the grocery stores, empty. The medicine stores, empty. Pharmacies, empty. They couldn't even get a simple cold pill or aspirin to help fight this flu. They just had to gut it out. And that is what Marxism gets you. But they convince people, you know, and there's here in America, people here in America, they're convinced capitalism is the problem. You know, my life is not perfect, so it must be capitalism. And that is what they teach these young children. And when it's critical race theory, they divide people by race. Race is the tool they use to divide. In my book, there was a parent who sent a picture of a lesson in kindergarten where they were to explore the topic of freedom and how they were instructed to explore the topic of freedom was to discuss five sentences. And the five sentences were, whites have more than blacks, whites oppress people of color, whites harass people of color, you must fight in a war, and hostile body language.
Well,
I don't know what any of
wait,
that...
Wait, hold on a minute, please.
Sure.
So, just let me ask. Well, in Germany, the kindergarten is for little ones between,
yes,
let's say, 3 and 6. Now it's getting younger and younger, but it's almost to 6 years old. So
yes.
I don't know what's the age in your country.
Well, in the United States, it's 5 and 6 year olds. So now we have a thing called pre-K, which is 4 and 5 year olds, but for the United States, 5 and 6 year olds. Now,
I have got 4 children. And you've got 4 children and they all mm-hmm. went through the kindergarten. The kindergarten
yes.
here is really to let them play, to educate
yes.
with playing and not so much in discussing such topics that even adults have
yes.
got their issues to talk about.
Exactly. I mean, you put a group of adults into a room to discuss those sentences, and you're going to get, it's going to get out of control. People are going to get upset. There's going to be yelling. Most adults don't have the emotional maturity to have that conversation. Now imagine the impact on 5 and 6 year old children. And again, I mean, this is what they do. I mean, Marxists they start young, you know, and with the history of Germany, again, I hate to keep bringing it up, but I mean, back in the day, I mean, that's what the Nazis did to your young children. It brainwashed them and convinced
Absolutely.
Them that, you know, they were the
Make
master race.
Equal.
And exactly. And so, but, you know, you think people would learn, okay? We've had so many instances of seeing this and how horrible it can be and the devastating results of it. But people keep falling for it. It's just, it's incredible. And so, and you know, you were talking about how they change the names. I'm sorry if I'm directing the kind. If you have another question, please go ahead. We can get to that. But they
change. I've got so many questions.
Okay, why don't you direct the conversation? I'm sorry, please.
Everything is fine here. So otherwise, I would interrupt you. So yes. But just let me know, what would you say is the biggest mistake that parents make when trying to foster independent thinking in their children? Because parents have to, well, I always think they have got the responsibility for their children still. So what can they do? Or what are they not doing?
Yeah, well, I think the most important thing is to have that conversation with your children. Tell them that, you know, for in a lot of ways, we teach kids that your teacher, you must respect your teacher. Everything they say is great. You know, you don't question them. you know, and you put these teachers on a pedestal, and sometimes they're deserving of that. My fiance's daughter has a wonderful teacher right now. She's in fifth grade. Wonderful teacher, but not every teacher is deserving of that position. Sometimes they say things that your children need to question. And so what parents need to do, and again, this is one of my suggestions in my book, is tell your kids, if you hear something, if your teacher says something which makes you feel uncomfortable, come home and tell me about it. Explain to me what they said, how they said it, and then the parent can decide for themselves, okay, what exactly is this? Do I approve of this? And, you know, and if it's truly something that is critical race theory that is designed to divide and create this tension between students, you know, one of the next things they can do is they can go find other parents and discuss these things with them. You know, hey, this is what happened. What do you think about this? Does this sound weird to you? And if you get together as a group, you're much more likely to get some changes than just going in as a single person. If you're just one parent, you know, maybe they go, yeah, you know, there's nothing we can do. It's mandatory. But, you know, a lot of parents who were told, no, these lessons are mandatory, when they looked into it a little bit, they weren't. They weren't written down anywhere. They were not part of the formal curriculum. And so, you know, it's a difficult subject. It really is. But talk to your kids. Make sure they're sharing their school experiences with you. Very important.
So this is crucial, I think, to really, but this also means you need to have this deep connection to your children, right? So that they trust you. I would say more than the teacher, because you are the one who is responsible, who is guiding your children, right?
Right.
So, and if you lose this connection.
And I'm sorry, but part of this is to create division between children and their parents. You know, in my book, there was one research paper that I read where they asked teachers, and it was just one school, but they asked teachers, okay, if you knew parents disapproved of the topic you're teaching their children, would you teach it to them anyway? And 85% of the teachers said yes. So there's a thing called in loco parentis, where a lot of these teachers feel that, and that's Latin for in place of parents, where they feel more important in the raising and the morals, establishing morals in your children than parents. If you're a troglodyte who believes in things like freedom and freedom of speech and, you know, capitalism and achieving based on your own merits and your own efforts, if you believe in those things, you are the problem. You know, most teachers, I think, are genuine people, good people, but you're going to find those social justice warriors who feel like they need to install their view of the world, their Marxist ideology in your children. And for those people, it seems like almost nothing is off limits.
So would you say that those teachers who think they have to install something different in the kids, would you say that they're doing this consciously?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You know, there's a thing in California called the California Model Studies Ethnic Studies Model Curriculum. And it is a brand new program that is mandatory for graduation in the year 2030. So starting next school year, these students are going to begin attending this course. It is a one-year program. You have four English, classes that you need for high school graduation, 3 math classes, 2 science classes, and now 1 ethnic studies class for high school graduation, mandatory. And, you know, the official state position of California is that there is no CRT in their ethnic studies program. I went through the first 600 pages of this curriculum, and it is chock full of CRT. And, you know, and that's one of the tricks that they use. And you kind of brought this up earlier. They changed the name. You know, I didn't find the words critical race theory anywhere in the model curriculum. But what I did find was systemic racism, marginalization, oppression, the white supremacy. And when you find those types of words, your child is being exposed to it. And not only are they teaching this thing, but they're making activism mandatory. They're training these kids to be activists. They go back and they study the tactics and the strategies of groups like Black Lives Matter. And then they take those tactics and strategies and they go find their own issue, whatever it may be, in their local communities. And I mean, there's like 3 or 4 classes, sample lessons, where they do this. And they join the local activist group and then they apply those strategies. And, you know, and not only that, they also recruit parents into this stuff, you know, and so they try to get parents involved in, you know, making their children these little social justice activists. And so it is absolutely a purposeful, intended effort.
So first of all, you as a parent have to be very conscious what's going on here. So
yes.
You have to be the critical thinker first and to
yes.
really look, what are some red flags that indicate that there is being some discouraging from independent thinking in school? But you have mentioned just some from the program. Are there some more that parents can think of?
Sure. Well, what I do is I advise parents, one of the things you can do if you have questions about anything, you can go to, most classes and schools have online course descriptions these days. So if you see something that doesn't look right, sounds weird, whatever the case may be, go online, look at the class descriptions and the course descriptions. Again, if you see words like white supremacy, marginalization, oppression, systemic racism, if you see those words, chances are your child is being exposed to critical race theory. And so that's one way to kind of to look and investigate and find out what's going on. But again, the other way, talk to your kids, ask them what they're learning. And, you know, and if they have lessons where they're being divided based on privilege, you know, the students of color, if your parents are divorced, take a step back. If you're living in a 2-parent home, take a step forward. And that's one of the lessons that they do. So if you have these particular circumstances, you know, you move forward. If you have difficult circumstances, you move back. And then they kind of, you know, okay. So you'll notice all the students of color happen to be in the back and all the white students are in the front. And I'm sure that's not the case, but every time. But that's the intended effort. That's the intended result, is, again, to make the white children feel guilty for things that they've never done and to feel like they need to bend over backwards or create these the things that they do to a child are just, it's criminal. It really is.
So would you say that the policy focusing on gender policy follows CRT?
Absolutely.
Because this is something that is happening right now in Europe. And if I talk mm-hmm. about Europe, it's particularly in Germany.
Yep.
So
and
it's
the United States
topic.
Too. Yep.
Okay. So, and you would say
Absolutely.
This is also CRT related.
Yes, but if there was a name for it, I would probably call it critical gender theory, you know, and they're using gender to confuse people. And one of the problems over here in the United States is that CRT and DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they're very closely linked together, very closely linked together. They're getting infused with counseling programs in colleges. So what they're doing is they are creating counselors who are social justice warriors, okay? And yes, gender is all part of it. And I have a friend who went to University of Tennessee to try to become her life had kind of hit some hard times, divorce and some other things. And so she thought, okay, how can I kind of regroup and make my life, get my, you know, back in order? I'll become a counselor and I'll use my gifts to help others. And that will help me get my life back on track. And so she ran into the CRT requirements and resisted them. And despite passing grades, was told you are not moving forward in your counseling program with your cohort because you have not bought into this. Now, I wrote an op-ed about this in an online called Wrong Speak Publishing about this exact topic. A parent responded to my op-ed and said, this is exactly what happened to my child. My child was having a difficult time. They went to a counselor who completely bought into this DEI. And then, you know, the accreditation for these programs now require this DEI, CRT. It's mandatory. It's infused in this stuff. So all of these counselors have become social justice warriors. In this particular case, this child needed help. And at their most vulnerable moment, this counselor convinced this child they had gender dysphoria or whatever it's called. They were actually a girl in a boy's body. And they convinced that child that the problem was their family for calling him John or whatever his name was. And so this doctor put this child on all kinds. I think the child was actually a teenager, but put him on all kinds of these drugs to control their emotions. And now this child believes they are a girl in a boy's body, and they no longer speak to anyone in their family.
Wow.
So, is gender identity part of this? Absolutely. It's another one of the tools in their kit to divide people and to eventually install this Marxist ideology in the long run.
How can parents deal with this now? Because being always interrupted in your education with your children and always crossing your paths, I'm just thinking, okay, I know what I'm doing, but I know that there are a lot of parents, mothers, fathers who are not thinking what they're doing. So what can help them?
Well, again, if you're one of those parents who happens to be in survival mode, and I grew up with a mom who was in survival mode, my dad, you know, left and, you know, he came around occasionally, but not all that often. And my mom was struggling to put a roof over our heads and put food on the dinner table. And, you know, we didn't talk much about things. And, you know, and when you're in survival mode, you kind of overlook some of those things that you should be doing with your children. But connecting with them emotionally, having discussions with them, even if it's a little 5-minute talk at the end of the day, You know, you need to know what is going on in your child's life, because these Marxists, these CRT proponents, what they want is for you to not pay attention. That is what they really want. And if they can, if you're not paying attention, that means they can get away with murder, essentially, without you even noticing it. And once you do notice it, too late.
Too late.
Too late.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, wow, this is a topic. I think really that everyone should think about this, because I know that there are a lot of things going on here. And just considering social media, how many people are just distracted from social media? And parents, I can see that parents with their mobile phone, but, you know, just with a little child at the hand, or I don't know, and not paying attention to the child, but instead paying attention to the mobile phone and not being present with their children. So
right.
I think this is also, and just you mentioned the survival mode, and I know just right after the pandemic, what a huge anxiety is just thrown into society. And it's difficult to really not pay attention to those things, right?
Yes.
Do you have
definitely.
Any advice?
Well, again, you know, you need to pay attention to the things that your child is absorbing out on social media. You need to monitor their usage. You know what
and
they're looking
it
at.
It has nothing to do with controlling, right? Because otherwise you can think you are controlling your children. What are you doing? Can't you let them go?
Huh. Well, you know, you can call it that. Some people may call it that. But, you know, there's also a thing called guiding your children.
Yes.
You know, they don't have the mental. Yes. They don't have the mental and the emotional capability to make decisions for themselves when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
They need your help to point them in the right direction. Stealing is bad. Hating the kid who lives next door because he's a different color is bad. You know, I mean, you know, looking at someone and seeing color first is wrong. You know, I mean, you need to teach those things. And, you know, And we've all been, you know, we've all been children. We kind of know what it's like, and we may not like the guidance, but you know what? Sometimes when a parent says something to you, it kind of sticks more than you want it to. Well, I'm a kid. I know everything, blah, blah, blah. But you know, when your parent says something, you know, sometimes unconsciously, you know, it comes up, and sometimes you make a choice that was the right choice instead of the wrong choice because of something a parent said to you a year ago, maybe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it's very important to know what's going on in your child's life and take a few moments and, you know, and you don't have to go, don't you dare do that, you know? You know, you can soften your language by saying things like, well, you know, I think that little Johnny, who happens to be an African, I think he's a very nice boy. I think he would make a great playmate for you. You know, if you want, we can invite him over sometime. You know, and that's a great way to counter some of these things that they're trying to instill in your children.
Yes, that's great. So what would you say, where could parents seek for help? If they find signals of CRT in their school, or what's your number one piece of advice for those parents?
Well, not to be self-serving, but you could buy my book if you can read English.
Absolutely.
and what I do is I do offer some advice for fighting back. And in my book, you know, I suggest things like, again, paying attention to the course descriptions, getting together with like-minded parents, develop a strategy. You can go to school board meetings. I'm sure we have school board meetings here in America. I'm sure you have equivalent over in Germany.
Yes, we do.
And when you go to those meetings, one of the things you have to be careful about is, again, you get the mama papa bear thing going on. And if you got a school board member who's talking down to you or telling you, you know, that there's nothing they can do, and, you know, and you get a little mad. Of course you get mad. These people are manipulating your children, and it's natural to feel this, but you have to be real careful, because these people, the bad ones anyway, they're professional victims, okay? And if you go in there as a parent and you get mad, maybe start throwing names around, maybe get a little in their face, guess who the bad person is? You. Mm-hmm. You're the problem, not them. Not, you know, not the fact that they're lying to you, not the fact that they're instilling this Marxist ideology in your children. They're not the problem. You are. So one of the things that I suggest, and I have spoken to school boards before about this subject, find out how much time you have to speak. Maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Write a speech, and that's the appropriate length. Practice it in front of others. But when you get in front of the school board, you may feel your emotions rising a little bit, your voice, you may feel scared, and that's okay. But one of the things that I suggest is you put the speech on your phone, or maybe you put it on a piece of paper, and you just focus on the words. And that will help you, number one, say everything you need to say that you want to say. But number two, it will help you control your emotions. You don't need to look up at them. Just focus on the words. And so control your emotions, because if you don't, again, you're going to be the bad guy. And in America, there were parents who were being investigated as domestic terrorists for getting angry at school boards that were lying to them.
Wow.
I mean, that's the craziness that's going on with this stuff. And
yes.
So you need to pay attention. And so the other thing you can do is pay attention to the news. Look for things like critical race theory, diversity, equity, and inclusion, social justice. Do searches for that. Now, you can't use Google, because if you look for DEI under Google or CRT under Google, Google's going to tell you that critical race theory is awesome. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. So you need to use an alternate search engine, one that is not filtered, one that is not censored, at least less censored than the ones that most people use. And you don't have to make it a study every day, but pay attention to the news stories that are coming out, you know. And that's one of the things. I have a Facebook page. It's the same title as my book, Critical Race Theory in Your School by Dr. George Maurer. And I'll post one or two news stories, you know, 3 or 4 a week maybe. And then that way it helps parents. If, you know, you don't want to do the research yourself, you can come out to my Facebook page and just see the things that are going on. And, you know, one of the things that we learned this week is that the American College of Surgeons, okay, is infused with critical race theory and DEI. And so they're getting pushback. And my searches recently, critical race theory is not popping up. So they're kind of getting hip to the fact that people know what critical race theory is. And they're not using those words anymore. They're using different words. So in the American College of Surgeons, instead of using critical race theory, they changed it, or DEI, they changed it to inclusive excellence. They changed none of the content, but now it's called, what they're doing is they're hiding it. And that's what you were talking about earlier. Change the name, and that confuses people. And it does. Unfortunately, it's very effective. I've seen DoDEA schools, the United States Department of Defense schools, you know, the U.S. military, when they live in places like Germany, they've got American schools on base called DoDEA, the Department of Defense Educational Activity. and they were told to get rid of their DEI. And what they did was they changed the name to Systemic Equality, and they retained all of the content. They changed nothing. They shuffled some money around. They shuffled some people around, but they just started calling it Systemic Equality. The American College of Surgeons did the exact same thing. Instead of DEI, they changed the name to Equality, Divisive Excellence. And they just changed the name. But all of the people who researched this and looked into it, all of the divisive content remained behind. The actual lessons have not changed one bit, just the name.
Yes, okay. So this is tough topic.
It is.
I think we shall give the audience some space to really think about this. And yes, thank you very much for being my guest here. People can reach out to you on your Facebook page. They can buy your book and, get in contact with you probably. So
yes.
I can place everything in the description of this interview. And if you need help, if you are seeking for help.
Yeah, if you have any questions, please reach out to me on my Facebook page. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have to do what I can to help. This is a very important topic, and it's everywhere. It's in American corporations, it's in companies, it's in schools, it's in government, it's everywhere. And they change the names a little bit, but in Europe, it's probably not quite as prevalent as it is in the United States, but it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. And you need to stand up to it and understand what it is right now. Because if you're not paying attention, that's exactly what they want. And as soon as they think you're not paying attention, that's when they act. And that's when they move forward. And that's when they install this stuff in your schools, in your government, in your corporations.
So it needs a little effort. It needs a little energy to really put inside. But it's about our future, the future of our children, the next generations, and yes, how we can move on. So thank you very much for all your information here. And yes, to all the listeners, please stay tuned, subscribe, and have an awesome day.
It's been a pleasure, Blanca. Thank you.